I'm reminded, I was, how many of you guys were here on Wednesday night and heard Joe? I was reminded by him, you know, again, just how important it is to remember those that are out there that don't know him. And it's good to be reminded of that, right? Because we get to come to church, and a lot of us, you know, maybe not all of you, and you might not know Jesus. If you do, if you don't, well, we'll invite you to get to know him because he's a good God. And he is worth knowing. But there's a lot of people that don't know him. We know him. He knows us because we're his children. But a lot of people don't know him. Amen. And we always got to keep it in our thinking that there's people out there that don't know him. It's so easy to get locked up into a thinking process that just says, here's my little world, that's all that's existing, and everybody else just, well, good luck. But that's not how God wants us to see the world. And I just love when we get people like Joe that are ministering in the nations to remind us here that we have people right around us that don't know him. And I'm just reminded again about how he knows everyone and wants to know everyone deeply as his children. And it's only through us that they're going to get to know him. It's only through our life and our testimony and our example. The Bible says that we're the salt of the earth. We're the preserver. That's the body of Christ. That's you, me, this church, all the churches. We're the ones that are preserving this whole world system and keeping it in check. And I love to be reminded of that because it's important that we keep it in our forefront of our thinking that we are his children, but we're not his children only for to be here just to be blessed. We're his children to bless others. We're his children to love others. We're his children to reach out to others. We're his children to go like Joe and his family go to some of the most dangerous parts of the world and to be a testimony to them. Thank God we have the ability to know him and to reach out with him with us, not by ourselves. Amen. Go real quick to Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll pray before we read. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to get into your presence, into your word. What a great honor it is to get into your presence in worship and praise and to give you a little of our heart back in worship and let you know how much we love you, Father. And Jesus, how much we appreciate what you did for us. But now we enter into the part of the service we're going to listen, where we're going to hear from your word. It's not because John is bringing it. It's not because Pastor Jan is bringing it. It's not because Pastor Cook is bringing it. It's not because any person is bringing it. It's because it's your word. And so, Father, this morning I pray that the Holy Spirit would be active this morning in your word. Not because of me, but because the Holy Spirit is here. He is ministering through me. But he is ministering in the hearts of each individual person to bring exactly what they need, Father. And so, Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. We invite you to be a part of what we're doing this morning. To be present with us. Because, Holy Spirit, only you can lead us into the presence of who Christ is in a deeper and more glorious way. Only you have the ability to take us where no man can. Only you have the capacity to take us into all that Jesus said that we can be as the children of the Most High God. And only you can help us to become the children that we're supposed to be, the testimony we're supposed to be in this world system. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you out here. And we invite you to be a part of what I'm saying and a part of what they're hearing. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 1, let's get verse 3 real quick. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, we were predestined to be formed into the image of God and his son Jesus Christ. Before he formed this world system, he predestined us, he created us to be conformed into the, and that's every single person in the world, not just one person, not just a special person, not just a special elect, not just the nation of Israel, not just Bias Word Christian Center, but every person, every single person born through the law of Genesis, every single person from the time that Adam and Eve had their first child, every person is predestined to be conformed into the image of Christ. Every person. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. I want you to hear that word right there, that He predestined us to be conformed into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, no matter who you are, if you're saved in here this morning, or you're not saved in here this morning, no matter if you just got saved yesterday, or you've been saved as long as Pastor Cook, which is, I don't even know how long, very long time, because he grew up in a Christian home, and I don't even know if you remember when you got saved, do you? How old were you? 8. That's about, actually, when I got saved, right around there. 8 or 9. But it wasn't because I was in a Christian home. It's because I had a Christian aunt that shared the gospel with me. I'll never forget it. I don't hardly remember anything from those days and age. I don't even remember hardly anything from that time period in my life. Very little. I remember going fishing with my dad. It was super fun. And I remember sitting on a couch with my aunt who visited us and accepting Jesus in my life. Isn't that amazing? And we were in a Lutheran home, Catholic. We were kind of half Catholic, half Lutheran, barely going to church. The most I knew about Jesus was going to sitting and being bored at church. Amen. That was about it. But He, in His immense ability to see through all the annals of time, saw John and saw an aunt and saw me predestined in Christ to hear the gospel. And I thank God every single day that I accepted Him at that point in time. And I look back at the time that went from the time I was 8 or 9 or whatever age I was. I can't even really remember how old I was. I knew where I lived and I knew the room. And I knew my aunt. That's what I remember. And I remember giving my heart to the Lord. But from that point on till the time that, and my dad was in a really tough second marriage. It didn't end well. And it wasn't good. Let me just say that. We moved here to Everett, moved closer to my dad's family. And I remember from that point on, somehow God began to work in our lives. I don't know how He did it. I'm not sure how it worked out. My dad wasn't even saved. But He began to work. He got divorced of his second wife. And he got remarried to a lovely lady that he's still married to this day, who happened to be a born-again Christian. Or just wanted to be a born-again Christian. And shortly after they got married, they both realized, both on their third marriages, both with children from multiple marriages, my dad, he didn't have any children with his second wife. But having children, they realized they needed something else in their life to make it work out. And I'll never forget, I went to church and got to know the Lord that I received a few years earlier, in a glorious way. I got to know Him. And I got to know Him. And I like what you read here in verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons, I got to realize that I was a son of the Most High God, a son by Jesus Christ in Himself, according to His good pleasure and His will, to the praise and to the glory of His grace by which He made me accepted in the Beloved. He accepted me. He received me. He took me in. All I had to do was go and say, Jesus, I need You. I'm not sure if I even need You or not, but I'm going to take You. And guess what? At some point in time, that experience that I had that I somehow remember some 30 some year, 40 years later, I remember it vividly. Somehow I remember that experience, that time when God said, you're my child. I'm going to begin to work in your life because you're accepted by me. I didn't change. Nothing in my life changed. In fact, it got a little worse. But somehow God began to work in my life. And somehow He got me into a great church, Northwest Foursquare in Federal Way, which is still there to this day. It's a good church. And I remember going and experiencing God in worship like we experienced God in worship this morning. I remember going and experiencing God in a way that I hadn't before because He was active in my life and He accepted me and I was a part of Him. See, God accepts us. Amen? God accepts us. One of the biggest problems we have, though, in our Christian walk is we still have all the clutter and the baggage that comes with us from our prior life. I thank God I got saved when I was younger, and He began to work in my life in such a way that I maybe didn't have as much clutter. Some of you may have gotten saved, but you went into the clutter, right? Some of you got saved later in life, and you had a whole lot of clutter. A whole lot of baggage that you have to deal with, you have to unpack. And that's the great challenge as a Christian, is how do we deal with this thing? And one of the greatest things that we begin to do is we begin to look at others, we begin to look at, you know, Pastor Jan and say, oh, he's this or I'm not good enough. Listen, this is not what we should be doing. Because each of us have our own little story that we've lived. Each of us have our own little path we've walked. And every single one of us has the history we have and the experiences we have. And those experiences and that history creates in us who we are today. Some of it is good and some of it is not so good. I always have told my children, there's two ways to learn things, from your own experience or from someone else's experience. It's always easier to learn from someone else's experiences. Okay? I heard somebody mention this again, and it brings to my memory as I'm talking, is that there was a time when someone had to break the 4-minute mile. Right? They were running, and they felt like it was never going to be broken. No one would ever run fast enough to beat a 4-minute mile. And one day, someone did it. One day someone did it, and everybody realized it can be done. It's humanly possible. And now it's like normal. It's not even hard to do anymore for some of those that run. It's way better than that. It's because our mind sees what it sees as a limitation. And so when we get saved, you know, we see our life in this bucket of all that we are and the sum of who we are. And we don't think that we can change. We don't think that we can become someone different. We don't think, because we're looking at other people and we're comparing ourselves to other people and we're drawing up comparisons. We're looking at them and saying, this is who I am. I'm never going to be that good. God says you are accepted in the beloved. Right here He said you're predestined to adoptions as His son. And what that means is that we're inclined, empowered, to become all that He said we could be. So as Christians, we no longer should look at life anymore. We should no longer look at life anymore with the idea that we are limited by our past experience, that we're limited by what happened to me before, by we're limited by our past mistakes, that we're limited by the things that hold us back. I don't care what you do or what you have, the capacity you have. If you have a capacity in you this morning to say, I'm accepted in Jesus, then say you're accepted and you're not limited, because He can take you all the way to what He wants you to be. You're not limited. You're unlimited. As a Christian, you've got to look at it from a different perspective. You've got to, and I like how a pastor says when he talks about repentance, when we're turning, it's like repentance is, here's the sin. I'm turning and going completely in the other direction. It's the same way when we think of ourselves. If you're living in shame, if you're living in guilt, if you're living in doubt, you have to completely deny your thinking process and say, I'm not going to think that way. I'm going to turn around no matter how I feel, and I'm thinking this way. It's a 180-degree turn in the other direction. Go in the other direction, because God's called you accepted in the beloved. He's called you loved. He's called you accepted. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I just want to read a set of verses that in verse 6 it says, "Now these things, brethren," this is Paul talking here, and he says, the problem with the Corinthian church is they were dealing with a lot of issues of looking at things through the natural rather than seeing things the way God intended them to see it. And when he's going into these verses, he's trying to get them to see something. "Now, these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against another. For who makes you different from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you have not received it?" The reason I want to read these verses is because this is, I think, one of the most critical things that we do that holds us back as Christians. We live in shame. We live in a position where we're not good enough because we're always looking at what others are doing and what they do and how good they are, and we're not realizing what God has called us to do or what He has called us to be. And Paul, he says, "I figuratively am transferred all these things." And this goes to a whole lot of set of other verses. We'll read a little bit of it. But what he's saying here is that I am telling you right now, you guys are focused on Apollos. You guys are focused on a Paul. You guys are focused on a teacher. You guys are focused on this guy and this guy. And you think in the natural because you're a part of something, that somehow that's going to... You know, being a part of By His Word Christian Center is a blessing. But being a part of By His Word Christian Center is not your answer. You can come here and you can say, I go to Pastor Jan's church. You know, and if you talk to some of the Rhema, it just amazes me how every single preacher, every single person that comes and teaches here, no matter how big their name is, talks about our pastor and how much he knows. And how much he's a blessing to them and how much he's sowed into their life. We are a blessed church. But if you go into the Rhema circles and you go and you say, "I'm part of By His Word Christian Center," they may know that. But that doesn't make you accepted in the Beloved. What makes you accepted in the Beloved is that you're a part of Jesus Christ and His church. And the only reason By His Word Christian Center has anything to even claim to any fame or anything is because we're in Christ Jesus and we're accepted in the Beloved. That's it. There's no other thing to glory in. There's no other thing to look at. And that's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, listen, you guys are looking to man when you should be looking to the person of Jesus Christ. You should be looking to the person of the Holy Spirit. You know what? It's good to be a part of what Paul is doing. And it's good to be a part of what Apollos is doing. It's good to be a part of what this other guy is teaching. It's good to be a part. But if they're not teaching you what is Christ, then they are of no benefit to you. They are as if you shouldn't listen to them. They're not worth being a part of because they're not in Christ. Now, does that mean we just turn our back and hate them? No, that's not what it's saying. It's talking about how we have to look at things in the natural. Let's talk about how good... Listen, this is the problem. Is that... somehow we think in a church setting that if I go to church, I'm somehow going to get better. I've seen a lot of people go to church and not get better. Okay, sitting in this pew, in the pews here, sitting here is great. It's a start. But what makes you better is knowing who you are in Christ. What makes you better is getting your eyes off of humanity and getting it on to the person of Jesus Christ. What is going to get you good in life is going to be getting focused on Jesus. And so often we're living in all the regrets. So often we're living in all the shame. So often we're living in a position where we're not looking at ourselves correctly because we're looking through the lens of how we think others see us. That we can't even see the person of Jesus Christ who's right in front of us. God doesn't want us to be there. You know why? Because God knows you. He knows you like someone. He knows you like no one else does. Go to Psalms 1, chapter 139. And let's just see how much God knows you. Psalms chapter 139, verse 1. I'm going to read all of this psalm, well, most of it. Okay? So just follow along with me. Pay attention. Let's just think about how much God knows us. And if you think there's anything that you can hide from Him, if you think there's anything that you think you've done that's just going to make Him turn His back on you. I like what Joe said on Wednesday night when he was talking about the woman at the well. And he said, you know what, the nation of Israel turned their back on these people, but Jesus didn't turn His back on those people. He went to those people. He didn't turn His back. See, that's religion for you. That just drives me crazy about the nation of Israel. Because they had the seed of Christ in them. Their job was to preach the gospel to the nations. And guess what? They lost it. They didn't do it. But you know what? There's a lot of churches in America that are doing the same thing. And I'm sorry, but you know, if that challenges you, maybe in this church we're doing a little too much of that too. I don't know. You be the judge. I know I'm trying to judge myself. I was challenged by Joe on Wednesday night. And he didn't even challenge us. He didn't even say a challenging word, but it challenged me to remind myself constantly that there's a dying world out there that needs Jesus. That when I see these people broken on the side of the road, what is my thought? Is it that they're screwed up and they messed up and they deserve what they get? Or is it that there's someone that might need help? If my first thought is the first, then maybe somehow I'm missing it. If my first thought is that they're getting what they deserved, then maybe I'm missing it. Now, I am a big fan of people. I'm a big fan of people having the consequence, and I think it's biblical, of their way so they can turn around. And there's a lot of people on the streets that are, no matter what was done to them, they're not going to change because they're lost. But that shouldn't change our mindset or our attitude. And I was challenged by Joe. Challenged by the Word. But God knows us, see? And if we allow Him to speak in our lives, He'll challenge you too. If He allows you to if He allows you, if you allow Him to be active in your life, then you might just change something in your life. Oh Lord, You may have searched me. Oh Lord, You have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and You know my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. And You are acquainted with all my ways. And there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from Your Spirit, or where can I flee from Your presence? If I ascend into heaven, You are there. If I am in the bed of hell, like a whole lot of people in this world system are, behold, You're there. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there Your hand shall lead me, and Your right hand shall hold me. I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light upon me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from You. But the night shines as the day, and the darkness as the light are both alike to You. In other words, He's saying that, you know, no matter what you're in, whether you're in darkness or in light, He knows exactly where you're at. You formed my inward parts, verse 13. You covered me in my mother's womb. That tells me He knew me when I was conceived. He knew me. I will praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in Your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more than the number than the sand. I can't even comprehend that. I haven't had that many thoughts towards my own children. I don't know how he can do it, but he does. If I should count them, they should be the number of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Listen, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter how you try to abandon God or how you try to go towards God, he knows you. He knows you deeply. He knows you intimately. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you like no one else ever could. And remember what it said in Ephesians. He knows us, but he accepts us. He accepts me just as I am, amen? I'm accepted in Christ. I'm accepted in the Beloved. He accepts me. He wants to be a part of what I'm doing. Now, does that mean that sometimes I don't get chastised? Yeah, I do. And I don't look at that as a negative thing. I look at it as a positive thing. Does that mean that sometimes I have to peel the onion in my heart and say there's some things in there that aren't quite right? Yep, I better do it. But I don't look at it as a negative thing. I look at it as a positive thing. Does that mean that I'm as good as Tammy? No, I would never be as good as Tammy. Tammy's too perfect. Someday, I'll be as good as Tammy. Right? Yeah, I don't live with you. That's true. Let's ask Jerry. And I can say the same thing for my family. Praise Jesus. Our family knows us. They know us well. Listen, I will never be as good as you. I will never be. You'll never be as good as me. Because that's not our target on the wall. This is the great thing that's so wrong in our natural thinking is we think the way the world thinks too much. If he accepts me as I am, that means he takes me at face value. This is who I am. But that doesn't mean he's gonna live with me like I am. He wants me to change. But he accepts me. There's nothing I can do that will get him not to love me. Nothing I can do that will get him not to accept me. I'm his child. Even if I turn my back on him, like it said in the verses there in Psalms, even if I turn my back on him and I go into darkness, he's there with me. Even if I go the farthest depths of hell, he's there with me because he knows me, he's accepted me, and in Jesus Christ, I have the adoption of a son, and I'm accepted. And all I have to do is turn my back towards that and go towards him. And I can have all the blessings that he has for me. All the things that, I love the story of the prodigal son. You know, and that's one of the verses, that's one of the sets of verses I always use to judge whether I should give someone something or give them nothing. You know, sometimes God's love is giving someone nothing. Which is hard to comprehend. But if you've been a parent and you give your children things all the time that they shouldn't get, or withhold things that they should get. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I was I believe in spanking your little children. So I think it's a good thing. Now, not in anger, not in frustration, but for a purpose. Right? And I found that I spanked Scott a lot more than I spanked Gabriel. And the reason is because I learned, first of all, try not to do it in anger. I did learn that. In frustration. And so when I was young and I was learning, I was kind of stupid, right? So I probably went a little further to like to the paddle quick, right? But I found with Gabriel that maybe I withheld it when I shouldn't, right? So there's a balance, I guess is what I'm saying. There is a balance in this discipline thing. And God is, He's up there, He's disciplining us. And in the story of the prodigal son, you saw how the father gave him something, then he withheld something, and then he gave him something. Right? The son came to him with a really crappy heart and said, God, Father, I want my inheritance, I want to go and do what I want to do. Father said, well, your inheritance is yours, here you go. He gave it to him, he went and spent it on frivolous living. And then he ended up in some chicken coop somewhere, or pig pen, or whatever it was, eating what the pigs eat, and realized that this isn't very fun. And then he turned his heart back towards the Father, and I love the story because the Father went right back to him. See, that's a good illustration of where the Father sees us. Whether with Him, but not really with Him. Whether we're not with Him, and we're kind of messed up, He's still there for us. But His discipline might look a little different. Or whether we're heading back towards Him and He sees us afar off and He runs to us, He's still with us. Regardless of your experience in life and how you experience the Father's love, you need to know He knows you and He loves you and He accepts you. And it's not because He's comparing you, He's not comparing you to your brother. Like the older brother was doing with his brother. Remember that story? I love this story. Because the older brother was in the house. He was with the father all the time. And yet he looked at his brother and then compared himself to his brother. And looked at what his brother got and said, why didn't I get that? And the father said, well, you have it. You have everything I have. Why are you even thinking that way? But this is the problem with us. We think the way the world thinks. We think the way the carnal mind thinks, and that's not good. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's look there real quick. Let's look at how we judge ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know nothing against myself, yet I'm not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. See, this is what Paul is saying. I love this verse, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and the reason I like these verses so much is because I find myself sometimes judging myself harder than even God's judging me. And so when I get into a place of pity and I get into a place of shame or I get into a place where I reflect on my... I do this internally. I don't know if you do, but I do. I hope you do. I reflect on what's going on inside my heart and I say, is it of God? Is this the Word of God? Is this what God says about me? Is this right? Is this a blind side in my life? I might run it by someone and say, hey, are you seeing this? Or maybe they're the one that told me and I'm like really having to reflect. Like, wow. I mean, I've had some people say some pretty nasty things about me. And I've had to go before God and ask Him, is that true? And you know what? Sometimes it is true. But sometimes it's not true. And if I just accepted that, took it in, sucked it in, and accepted that's how God sees me now, that's the way Pastor Cook sees me, so that's the way God sees me. That might be wrong. That's why these verses are so powerful in the Bible, because, and why I love these verses, because Paul said, let's read it again, rather than me quoting it. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you, or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know nothing against myself, yet I'm not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. You know why God is a good judge? Because of Psalms 139. He knows everything about me. He knows my standing up. He knows my sitting down. He knows every single thing about me. His thoughts towards me outnumber the thoughts. His thoughts are so vast and so much towards me individually that they outnumber the sea, sand in the sea. That's crazy, but that's how much God knows me. He knows every single thing about me. There's nothing I can hide from Him. Nothing that He doesn't know. So if He knows that much about me, then I better go to Him and let Him be the judge. Because I don't even know myself that good. I don't even know myself that good. Man, I question myself all the time. Oh my gosh, did I do that right? Oh my gosh, did I share? I'll get out of here and I'll go and I'll say, oh, did I do that right? Was that right? Oh gosh, I probably did it wrong. Pastor's going to hear about it and so, oh gosh. You know, it happens, right? It happens. That's how we are. Because that's our carnal human frailty. We aren't sure. But Jesus is. The Holy Spirit is. And the Father is. So if I go to Him, then He knows me. And let's look at verse 5. It says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. And what that means to me is that I'm going to, if somebody says something about me or somebody has done something to me in my past that is contrary to what God is saying to me, or I see differences in the Word of God, I'm going to shelf that thing. I'm going to put it up here. Someone might have said that I'm not loved, and I'm going to put it up here because my God says I am loved. I'm not going to accept that. It's on the shelf. It's over here. And I'm turning around and I'm looking at my Father who says I am loved. I am known. See, if I can put it over here and not listen or focus on that, then I can go to the real judge of my heart, the one that truly knows me, and I can listen to what He has to say about me. And I guarantee you the Word of God says that He's not going to come and say, you're not loved. He's not going to come and say to you, you're not accepted. He's not going to come to say to you, you aren't capable. He's not going to come and say to you, you can't overcome that addiction in your life. He's not going to come and say to you, you can't do this. He's going to come to you and He's going to say, here's the process. I'm going to help you in it. I'm with you. I know you. I'm here with you. This is me and you working this thing together, baby. We're going to get through it. That's the Father we serve. That's why we should never judge anything before its time. Because only God knows that the time is when the time is right for us to judge the things that are in our heart. Put it on the shelf and say, that's what somebody said. I'm ignoring that. That's not what I feel like right now. That's not what I even believe about myself. But my God is my judge. I'm going to go to Him. He's the one that's the counsel for my heart. He'll bring to light the hidden things that are of darkness that are in my heart. And He'll make them come to light. He'll give me the peace that I don't have. He'll bring me. See, you've got to look at it from His perspective. You've got to go where He's at. And you've got to see it the way He sees it. Is this easy? No. Because we're talking about ourselves. I always pick on Pastor Cook. I don't know why. You shouldn't sit in the front row, Pastor Cook. But he sits here. I guess it's your spot. You're forced. Next time I preach, he's going to sit in the back. I better guarantee it. Pastor Cook is how old? 80 years old. He does look good. And I like using Pastor Cook because he's lived a life, a long life. He's a good man of high integrity and high character. But Pastor Cook, is there things in your life that you have that are just not good? And you know about them. And probably your family could tell us a few. Right? I might even be able to tell you a couple because I work with you sometimes. As He could for me. Praise Jesus. He knows Himself. But yet, the reason I'm using that is because He's still working on Himself. He's 80 years old. He's been saved since he's 8. But he's still working on himself. That process won't stop till the day he goes home to be with the Lord. It's not going to stop for you. It's not. If it doesn't stop for him, it's certainly not stopping for me. I got things in my life I got to work through. And I'm going to be working through them for the rest of my life. You know, what I love about our church, what I love about our pastor, what I appreciate more about him, and I wish more people would understand it. It hurts my heart when people say, I can't get what he's saying. I don't understand. He talks over my head. It hurts my heart, but you know, that's the reality. People say that. You probably heard it. I've heard it. And they go to a church maybe that where people aren't preaching over their head, where they can understand everything that's being said. And I'm not comparing us to other churches. There's great churches out there. I'm not saying, I'm just saying Pastor Jan, and I'm appreciating him for what he is. But I look at it like this. That you could go to a doctor, and if you went to a doctor, and all the doctor ever said to you was, this is how you can treat the symptom. You feel shame? This is how you can treat the symptom of that shame. You take a little pill here, you make yourself feel good, you go talk to people, they're going to make you feel good, you get around a lot of people that make you feel good, and you don't have shame anymore. And then we go to the next thing, and we go to that, and then we find a way to kind of codify the thing. We put the Band-Aid on it, it's not bleeding anymore, we're not dying out. Right? But what I love about Pastor Jan is he is not treating the symptom of our disease. He's going right to the root of the disease. And he's saying, you know what? There's more in the Word of God than just treating the symptom. We could come up here all day long. I could talk to you a whole service about shame and about how you can overcome shame in your life. I could talk to you a whole service about how you can overcome addictions in your life. We could give you the 10 steps to overcoming addiction in your life. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You do these, you won't have any more problems. And guess what? You might have some victory in your life. Because our natural flesh, it can do things. It can overcome things. The natural flesh can accomplish things. We can discipline it. The nation of Israel was really good at it. They built a whole law and kind of a bunch of rules around it to kind of cordon off the flesh. The problem is it was just treating the symptom. It wasn't really treating the disease. It's important that we treat the disease. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. And the reason I share that about Pastor Jan is because I want you to think about when he's teaching the Word of God to you, that you might be in shame. You might have addictions. You might have these things. You may not think you're getting the answer here, but I'm here to tell you, you are getting the answer. The answer's here. You've got to figure it out because you're unique before God. He knows you. Pastor Jan doesn't. And if you'll listen to what he's saying, he'll get you right down to the root of the issue. Right down to the core of the problem. Right down to where the rubber meets the road. And you can really deal with this thing for once and for all. Rather than just putting a Band-Aid on in your life. Rather than having to deal with this doubt about whether you're good enough all the time. He can get you right down to the root of the issue. And you'll know you're good enough. I remember once I taught a message. I don't know if I've ever told you this. I don't know if I've ever told you this testimony. I think I have. But if I haven't, and you're hearing it for the first time, if I have, then hear it again. Praise Jesus. I once taught a message, and it was a message on salvation. I did it in this church, just like they taught it. It was powerful. I felt the anointing all over me. I thought God was, man, he's all over this thing. And guess how many people came up and got saved? Zero. And I remember just a nice soul coming up to me afterwards and saying, don't give up. And it was beautiful, they said it. It was nice. I know what they were doing. They were trying to encourage me. But you know what? I already hadn't given up. Because I felt like I was supposed to teach that message. I taught that message. And I let God be the judge of whether I did a good job or not. And I wasn't going to let any human court or any result from what I taught determine whether I did the right thing or not. I walked out of here in total confidence that I did what I was supposed to do before the Lord. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the results, regardless of what actually happened, I walked out of here knowing I did what I was supposed to do. And if I did that, and I'm not, and listen, I'm not saying I don't want to get results. And when I preach or when I teach, I want to get results. I want people to know Jesus. It could have been I was teaching the choir at that day. Maybe there wasn't anybody in here that needs salvation. Maybe there was. Maybe there was people and they didn't respond. Maybe I didn't do a good enough job. I don't know. But I walked out of here knowing that I did what I was supposed to do. Because I let God be the judge. I let God be the judge. And I appreciated what they said, and I know where they were coming from, and it was great, and it was nice what they said, but they didn't need to say it because I had already reconciled in my heart before God. I did what I was supposed to do, Lord. I'm okay. I'm okay before you. I didn't fail, and He was already giving me just peace in my heart. It was overwhelming, honestly, because the results were crappy. Is that a bad word to say? In the natural. But I'm not always looking at the natural. That's the difference between a person that's focused only in what happens here versus what's happening eternally. How do I know that somebody didn't take that message and go and teach someone else and 1,000 people got saved? Maybe that changed their whole life. Their perspective on what it is. How do I know? I don't know that. Only God knows. Only God knows. Only God knows me. Only God is the judge. Only God is the one that can reconcile before me. We keep going back to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Look at this. We've heard these verses a lot. I want you to listen to this. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, would they have crucified the Lord of glory? No, they would not have. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of the man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us, God. We have not received the same spirit the world has. We've received a different spirit. This should not sound foreign to this church. Pastors taught on this. Pastor Cook's taught on this. A lot. That we have a spirit on the inside of us. And that spirit on the inside of us is not the spirit that's in this world. If we're going to walk our whole life out throughout this whole life thinking like the world thinks, acting like the world acts, and contemplating the kingdom of God like the world does, we will miss this great mystery. We will miss this great mystery. And this mystery here is the most critical one of all. Because if you truly want to overcome an addiction in your life, then you need to recognize the overcoming of the addiction is found in the strength that comes from your inner man, not from anything you can do to discipline your flesh. Now, does that mean I continue doing the addiction? No. I'm a big fan of putting law on your flesh. If I have things that I'm dealing with in my life, then I should just discipline my flesh to deal with it. But I'm also a big fan in knowing this. I'm also a big fan of going this direction. And this should be the first thing we do, and the others should come. In other words, let's just use for an example. Let's say I am dealing with... I don't like cigarettes. I never dealt with cigarettes. So I'm going to make something real to me. Let's say I'm dealing with anger. Okay? Anger is my problem. Anger is my issue. And I get angry all the time over the stupidest things. Things will trigger me or whatever, right? The kids, whatever. If I'm dealing with that, that's in me. It's a good idea for me to go to the Word of God and see what it has to say. The cure for the problem is found in me understanding who God is in my life. And that I'm a spiritual man. And that because I'm a spiritual man and I have a new identity in Christ Jesus, and I have the Holy Spirit, the cure for my problem is knowing who I am in Christ. Is being able to go to these verses here and say, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches the deep things in me. It knows me. He knows me. Psalms 139. He knows my standing up. He knows my sitting down. He knows me. Now He knows me so much so that we can go, for the man that knows the things of the man except the Spirit, even so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. He knows me. The Spirit of God knows me. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. I'm not talking about a spirit that comes from the world. I'm not talking about a way of processing this anger issue through the way the world processes it. I'm going here first and I'm saying He is going to give me the ability to overcome it, because my natural man, my human side of me, can't do it by itself. It needs the root ripped out of anger in my life. And the only way it's going to happen is if I'm going to get focused wholly on the spiritual man that I am on the inside of me, rising up and taking a position of dominion and dominance over that which is in the natural, pushing him aside and saying, here it is. Pastor was talking on that last Sunday extensively about how we have to push our life in such a way that the Spirit of God can rise up inside of us. So once I have that revelation and I know that God wants me to deal with this thing, He's revealed it to me. He's saying, deal with this anger issue, John. You can overcome it. I've given you the ability through your Spirit to get a dominion over this, to take a position of dominance over this thing. If I know that, then I can do it. So I start there. And I start believing God that I'm going to overcome, that I can accomplish this thing, that I can get past this thing. But I also stop being angry. I also talk to my wife and say, I want to be not a person of anger anymore. And I become accountable with others. See, it's a double thing. You don't have to do just one or the other. You can do both. You can do the 12-step process, but don't let the 12-step process determine who you are and whether you're an addict or not. Because I don't have to be an addict anymore. I don't have to go through the 12-step process anymore. I can be fully free, fully redeemed, fully overcome, fully delivered, fully. Now, those roots that go deep in us, those things that are in our flesh, you better be careful, because they definitely will wreak their ugly head again if you allow them, right? Is that not true, Pastor Cook? They come back on us. Listen, God knows us. Amen? He knows us. I think that this morning I just want to more than anything encourage you. That no matter what you're going through, God has an answer for you. No matter what life is giving you, He has a way out. But we have to take the blinders off and turn our heart towards God. We have to focus on Him. He's the one that has the answer. He's the one that has the solution. He's the one that knows us deeply. He's the one that has loved us immensely. Listen, God is not a God who is up there like an ogre, like I said. He's a God who gives you, He gives you what you need in life. You know, my heart goes out to people, and I've been there. My heart goes out to people that constantly think of themselves less than God thinks of them. I mean, if you're that kind of person, I just challenge you to stop thinking like that. Think like God thinks about you. You know, we can be sometimes the hardest judges on our own self. Pushing ourselves into a place of regret, shame, self-pity, all the different things. You can just name them all. But we have a God who says you're not those things. And He's declared you something better than what you think you are. And we're all there at times. I mean, I am too, you know, at times where I have to just stop and just say, God, is this me? Am I really this person? And it's good to do that. But don't let it destroy you. Don't let it take you down. Don't let it put you in the dumper. Don't let it take you into a position of depression. Don't let it take you somewhere it's not supposed to take you. If God's showing us something, then He's the right judge of it. He's the one that knows the timing of it. If you don't feel like it's coming from inside of you, if you don't feel like the Word of God is expressing it, it's something someone else has said, I think it's good just to put it on the shelf, like I said. And just say, I'm not going to think that about myself. I refuse to think that way about myself. I'm putting it up here on the shelf, Lord. You'll have me bring it down when the timing is right. But I can't go there right now because what is causing in me is not what You have intended for me to be in. If God has called us to a place of peace, then that's the place we should be. If God has asked us to be in the Spirit which brings joy and goodness, then that's where we should be. And if you're opposite of that, or you're in a place not contrary to that, then that's a perfect opportunity for you to say, I'm shelving this idea. I'm shelving this thought process. I'm shelving this feeling. I'm shelving this thing. I'm putting it up here. And I'm saying, I'm not pulling it down right now. I refuse to think that way about me. I'm not going to do it. I refuse to do it. I'm going to think this way about me. And when others say something to you that would make you want to bring it down off the shelf, you can say, nope. You can say that, but that's not how I think about me. Because I choose to think the way God thinks. We are known by God. And we're a church that teaches to grow up. And sometimes it can feel like you're getting hammered by the Word, right? But we just have to always remember that God loves us and He knows us. Amen. No matter what He is telling you at any given Sunday, any given time, we're fully known. And loved by Him. It's important that we remember that as we hear the Word. Because He never, ever, ever challenges us outside of His love. He never puts us in a position where we're loved less. He always is the perfect. And if you feel different than that, then you need to check your heart. Like I said, put it on the shelf. Amen. Stand up, everyone. We'll just get ready to dismiss. This morning, I would like to, you know, give the opportunity for those that would like to come up and just get prayer. I mean, I'll be here, pray with you about the message this morning, which we covered a lot of territory. If you're not saved, man, you got to start there. And if you're feeling there's something in your life that's keeping you away from who God is, then we'll pray there. I'm a big fan that the Word of God has a lot to do with making us better. But sometimes we do need prayer. And so it's okay to come up and get prayer. So as we dismiss, I'm going to let everybody go because I don't want to go too long. If you guys would quietly leave, and then just if anybody wants prayer for the message, you'd like to get saved, you come up here and say, John, you taught this morning that I need to have a relationship with Christ and I want that relationship, then you come up and you tell me that. Because you need to be saved. You need to be in a position where God is working in your life. And pastor's been talking a lot about the praying in the Holy Ghost. He's talking about it last week. I'm sure he'll talk about it next week. I think he's on a little series on that. And I think it's good. But it starts with getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So if you're not filled, then come on up here and we'll get you filled. It's not hard. It's easy. Because it's Jesus doing it. The Holy Spirit doing it in you. Amen. So we'll pray, and then you guys, if you want prayer, you come up here. And don't delay. Come up. We'll pray. Help you. Make a connection with God. Amen. That's what laying on hands does. It gets us in a place where we're making a connection with God spoke to us, and then solidifying it through prayer. Nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing to do. Amen. Father, we just thank you for the message. We thank you that we are, as Psalms 139, fully known by you. I thank you for our church. I thank you for the leaders in our church. I thank you that, Father, you have put us all in a position to help people in the body of Christ. I thank you, Father, that each individual person is uniquely positioned in the body of Christ to be a blessing to everyone else. And so, Father, this morning, let the Word just help us to realize that we all have a part to play. That you have called us all to be a testimony for who you are. And Father, I just pray that every person, regardless if they come up for prayer or not, will be blessed, Father God. They are the righteousness of God in Christ. And that they will not ever forget that you love them. You accept them. So Father, this morning as we dismiss, we just thank you for who you are in our lives and in the lives of everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen. Come up if you'd like prayer.